Hi, welcome to the Yo and Renee podcast. I'm your host, Yo and Renee, and in this podcast, we will talk about philosophy, religion, political thought, and culture. I hope you enjoy. Hello, welcome to the Yo and Renee podcast, and I'm your host, Yo and Renee, and I'm here with my wonderful wife, Mindy Shaper.
That's right, that's my name.
And I wanted to make a short introduction podcast episode. Asked my wife to help me out because it's kind of strange for me to talk by myself in a room to a microphone. So
also everything with me in it is more awesome.
This is correct. I can vouch for that. Okay, yeah. So let's do a quick introduction to our podcast. And yeah.
Okay, so Yoel, why don't you start by telling us about yourself?
Okay.
And then we'll go into what you're going to talk about on this podcast, the variety of topics that you're going to touch upon.
Okay. I am Yoel René Schaper, although I go by the Hebrew name Yoel often, well, always. I'm born in the beautiful Kingdom of the Netherlands.
He's obsessed with the kingdoms now, so he'll tell you a lot about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I converted to Orthodox Judaism, so I'm a convert to Judaism. And yeah, what else did I say?
He's blonde. This is very important. It's important to me, at least. So it should be important to you, too.
Yeah, this is important. I am very blonde.
Unlike, he's also 6'4".
Unlike those Germans we met in Germany who were not blonde, I'm actual blonde because I'm from the Netherlands.
Indeed. And this Dutchness will inform a lot of what you talk about. And it'll definitely get into come to play when you talk about politics and your outlook as opposed to an American outlook. But you're also very flamboyant, like Americans. So anyway, let's get into that. Okay, so
let's talk about you for a second.
Yes, my name is Mindy, and my maiden name is Friedlander. I am from Borough Park, from a Hasidish town in the middle of Brooklyn, New York. Super Jewish upbringing that definitely informs my outlook. And I think Yoel and I share something. We share an intellectual curiosity and a non-dogmatic approach to the world. So that's something that we both enjoy, appreciate. We love hearing different points of view. We like hearing and understanding people from all different backgrounds. And we don't like being stuck in a box. So we like to have our intellectual freedom. And I think that's fun. And it's something that you'll discover hopefully along the course of this podcast.
Let's hope so. Okay, let's touch on the topics that I want to talk about. So first of all, I'm also doing a second podcast with hopefully, right? With Esther Hugenholtz, who is a Reform rabbi, and but that's a separate podcast. This one will be just about me, and
he's very self-centered, just so you know.
And yeah, I have some guests lined up. I hope to get them on the next episode. But let's talk about the topics.
Okay, so here's what you're going to talk about. And this is, I'm going to tell you what he's going to talk about because I hear it all day long. So basically, this podcast is going to be what I hear all day long. Well, now you get the privilege. Okay, consider yourself lucky. So he's going to talk about philosophy. He's going to talk about monarchy. He's going to talk about politics. He's going to talk about history. And we have a very specific realm of history as well. And have I covered? I think I've covered most of it.
Well, religion.
Religion. Sorry, I forgot that one.
specifically Judaism.
Yes, indeed. He's also going to talk about my amazing creative food and the paint on the walls. It'll be ancillary, but, you know, it permeates his life. So it's kind of always in the background. You know, his life is greatly enhanced by the beautiful paint on the walls. So just, you know, everything you hear, it's, you know, very much influenced by my wonderful, colorful walls.
Okay, yeah. And we'll also give some relation advice, all the bad moves we made in our marriage and all the good moves.
No, you have to leave that to me. Psychology is something that was my purview, is no longer.
Well, now you're a corporate hack, so there's that.
Not a corporate hack. I'm contributing to the world with valuable organizational strategies.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm a big capitalist, so we'll get into that at some point. Okay, let's what else?
Okay, so why don't you give a little brief overview about each of the topics that we're going to cover, and that will be our first introduction. So philosophy, start with philosophy, because why don't you tell us how you got into philosophy? This is actually very interesting. I think it also ties into how you got into Judaism.
Yes, well, when I was a young man, I had a lot of questions. And of course, I had a lot of questions. I read a lot of books to answer those questions. So one of the things I did was reading philosophy books, right? So that's how I got into that.
So tell me about the kind of questions that you had. I think they were great questions.
Might have to be spontaneous there. I'm kind of stuck here. Go ahead.
Okay, so you said that when your mother used to leave the room, when you were around 5, you used to wonder.
Oh, when I was a little kid, I used to wonder if my mother leaves the room, does he still exist, right? This is normally a question young people ask about the fridge, right? If you close the door of the fridge, is the light still on? Or
really?
Does it go off?
I never asked that question.
It's a major conundrum. I thought, I wondered if my mother would be still there. Now, some people, and those people might be you, that I had some abandonment fear or something at age 5, 6.
No, I don't think it was abandonment fear. I like to psychoanalyze you, but no, I actually think this is just your philosophical mind showing through at age 5.
Yeah, because I don't remember ever being distressed about it. I always just wondered about it, if she would still exist or anything else would still exist. So I tuned into that Descartesian question.
Okay. What other philosophical thoughts ran through your little 5-year-old mind?
I don't know about 5-year-old, but when I was a teenager, I picked up a book from my mother, which was a book on witchcraft, because my mother really enjoys herself some occultism and New Age. So I picked up one of her books on witchcraft and...
Remember the title and the author?
I'm going to say Higher Magic by David Conway. I think that was the first one. I think that was the first one I read. So,
what does he talk about in that book?
Well, it's been over 20 years ago that I read it. But yeah, he talks about...
That's no excuse. You should remember every line.
He basically gives a history of how to use magic. And I think he goes into...
Wow, that sounds like Hogwarts.
Yeah. He goes into rituals and a little bit of the philosophy behind it. Yep.
Okay. And so then what did you think upon reading the book?
I thought that this could well be complete and utter nonsense.
He meant BS, but he's too polite.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. So I thought maybe, but I didn't really know if this is true or not, because how would I know? I was a teenager.
See? What? Okay, go on. I'm going
to... So then I just decided, well, I have to figure out the truth, or whatever it is. I have to figure out things. I have to study things.
So I want to point out that line that you just said, you said, well, it could be BS or it could be true. How would I know? That, to me, it's something that undergirds your philosophical approach to life and your approach to knowledge in general. Because, and actually, this is a good point to interject what your mother always says about having opinions, which I think really formed you and your philosophy. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. So my mother had this interesting position in life that you have no obligation to have an opinion on everything. Meaning, you can have opinions on one thing and not another thing. And just because other people expect you to have a view or an opinion on things doesn't mean that you actually need one, seeing that we as human beings are often very uninformed about reality and about topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you look at things, you don't come to the table thinking that you know everything. You come to the table with an open mind. And as much as, you know, everyone who knows you knows that you're very opinionated, but there's also a lot of element of fun in it for you. You know, you enjoy, you're known as a troll, and you enjoy provoking people, and you enjoy phrasing things in the cleverest of ways so that you twist people's opinions and their knowledge, and you make them examine, you kind of make them examine their own beliefs in your little tweaky way. But you generally do, once you get past the fun part, where you know, you're strong-minded and you're opinionated and you're loud, you genuinely do approach things from an attitude of, I want to find out, I want to explore, like Tarzan. I want to know. Yeah, so you really want to know.
You make me sound really good. Yeah, I do.
I should. I'm married
I
to
do
you.
Want to know things.
Bad if I didn't.
But I don't know a lot of things, which is a problem. Although, I know enough to make a podcast, at least hopefully a fun one.
Yeah, I mean... You hope you know enough to be interesting to ask a lot of questions.
Yes, I also have acquired a lot of scholars over time as friends. So hopefully I can get some of those on, do an interview, and then get some real experts on topics that I like.
Okay, so actually let's do a brief overview of your philosophical journey. Let's tie it into your Jewish journey and, into your personality and like what has gone on in your personal life, because this is interesting. And I, for people who might not know you, I think they will find it interesting, and it's a good frame of reference for them to understand who you are and what you've experienced in your life, so they can understand your mindset. So you grew up in Holland, right? Your mother was practicing Wiccanry or, stuff like that.
Right. Well, it's now called, it's called officially now the Netherlands. They just changed it. I mean, the official name has always been the Kingdom of the Netherlands since I was born, but tourists like to call it Holland. So now by law, or they now only write the Netherlands.
Bloody tourists, huh? Ruining everything. Got to make laws against them. So you grew up in the Netherlands, right? And your mother was practicing Wiccanry. I know the word's not Wiccanry, but I just...
Wicca. A form of Wicca, yeah.
And what other viewpoints were circulating in your household?
Well, my mother was... very well read Wiccan, we can say. And she had a lot of New Age books flying around, a lot of Wiccan books, and also books like Jung and books on astrology. My mother has a certificate in astrology from Karen Hademaker, I think her name was, which is a famous Dutch astrologer. I myself am not very much into astrology, but still, it's very interesting. And so I was raised in a very... non-conventional household, right?
Mm-hmm. You actually went to a Rudolf Steiner school, right?
That's right.
Can you tell us what that was about?
The Rudolf Steiner was a thinker who came up with the philosophy of the Philosophie der Vrijheid, the, how do you call it in English? Anthroposophy and Waldorf. I don't know. This is how it's called.
Waldorf, I've heard of. I do not.
No, Waldorf is Rudolf Steiner.
I'm assuming you're not meaning an entropy school. That would be a pretty negative name for a school.
No, Rudolf Steiner's schools called Waldorf here.
Mm-hmm. I just had to... So what was the philosophy of those Waldorf schools, and how was it conducted differently than an ordinary school?
Yeah, he had a specific philosophy on education. I mean... I think the most significant part of the school was that we were introduced to a whole lot of interesting exotic ideas and legends and culture.
Oh, actually, this is a good segue into my favorite topic. Tell us about the role that you played when you were a kid.
Okay, so I played in a school. I played the god Thor, who lost his hammer, right, from the Northern mythology. So I played the god Thor. Now, Mindy is actually in love with Thor.
Not in love with Thor. I have an intense appreciation for the physical appearance of Chris Hemsworth when playing Thor. It's very different.
Right. Actually, when I watch The Avengers, she doesn't care about the sound or the story. She just wanted to see Chris Hemsworth with his long hair and his hammer.
Yes. And let me note, Yoel is now 6'4" and blonde, and he's for some... inexplicable reason refuses to grow his hair long. I can't fathom why. I mean, it's not that big a deal, right?
I think your parents would kill me if I grow my hair out.
Well, I'm married to you. You're not married to my parents.
That's a good point. You make a persuasive argument. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on.
So you had your mother being a Wicca, and you had a Rudolf Steiner school, and then there was another important influence in your house with his philosophy, right?
Right. My stepfather was sort of a socialist, and he was a member of the SP, the Socialist Party. So he was also very influential in my life. What can I say about him? He was an intellectual, but a little bit in his own little world.
So what kind of things was he into, and what would he talk about?
He would teach me about Nietzsche, which is kind of significant. But and he also would espouse his political views, which I personally think were like socialist. But my brother says that they weren't exclusively socialist. He was much broader than just the political party that he was affiliated with.
Okay, so actually, this is a good point to mention. Your brother is also an intellectual, like yourself. Yoel and his brother are pretty much exactly alike, except as our sister-in-law said, Yoel is an extrovert, and David is an introvert, and Yoel is not into science and technology like David is. But otherwise, you're pretty much the same person.
Oh, yeah, and I'm theist, right? I'm a believer in God.
I forgot about
my
religion.
My brother is an atheist, or maybe an agnostic.
Yeah. And, this is going to talk about something that's happening in contemporary society. So years ago, when you were into arguments for God and your brother was into arguments against God. And every time you would get together, you would discuss this and you would, you know, have at it about philosophy and theology. And now, several years later, the cultural conversation has shifted and people aren't into that as much. And now when you talk a lot about politics, both of you. And I feel like that's a reflection of what's been happening in the rest of the world as well.
Yeah, well, I'm very much a product of my own time, right? So that's for sure. Like, for instance, like I said, my parents are pretty left-wing, but I'm far more conservative, or let's say just very conservative. So I moved right. And I think that is a general thing that happened to my generation in the Netherlands, that a lot of us moved to the right while our parents were on the left.
Right. So that sounds like a dance. Anywho, so, okay, so, Brian, you had your stepfather, and then, actually, there's something very interesting your stepfather said that, it's probably a good line. What did he say about Lenin, right?
Trotsky. He told me once that the reason people like Trotsky is because he died before he got to kill people.
I thought that was very wise and incisive line. Okay, and you want to tell us a bit about your dad?
My dad is a... Roman Catholic. That's how you say it. My dad is a Roman Catholic. I don't think he's not very religious, but he's a little traditional. And he is, he came out of the closet as gay. So he has a boyfriend. So, and his boyfriend is also Catholic. So they are the most traditional people in my family, the two gay guys.
Right. But, I can always compare everything to against a Jewish lens, right? So, like, you know, as a Jewish person, everything is measured by actions, right? So I'm like, but they never go to church, right? So, okay, but...
They go on Christmas. They're high holiday Catholics.
Right. They do have a cross and some Marys in their house, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and you know, in Holland, you were saying Catholicism is much more... It's also like an ethnicity over there.
Right. Because historically... the Protestants and Catholics didn't get along. They didn't marry each other. So they maintained their local cultural and ethnic identities until modern days. So Catholicism is and Catholicism and Protestantism are both seen as more than a religion. It's also an ethnic culture, although that today that's much less.
Mm-hmm. And actually your grandfather, right? Your mother's father, what did he used to tell her about who she could marry?
Oh, so he told her, you can marry a Jew, you can marry a Protestant, but you can't marry a Catholic.
And then drum roll, what did she marry?
Well, my father, of course, was a Catholic, so right. They married.
How did he feel about that?
I don't know. I never asked. I think, no, I did ask. My mother said that in the end, he didn't care. It was just something he said once he grew up. Mm-hmm. I guess once he came out as gay, it probably was... the religion was probably much less of a shocker. But mm-hmm. Then they got divorced, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So that was your upbringing. And so let's getting back to it. So when you were around 14, you picked up one of your mother's books, right? And you started reading it. And then you're like, okay, right? You said, I don't know if this is true. What's true? So then what did you do next? What were your next steps?
Then I thought by myself, well, I need to figure out what's true. So like a true teenager, I got myself the Satanic Bible. I read that, and then I got a bunch of other nonsensical
books. What insight did you glean from the Satanic Bible?
Oh, one of the most shocking things when I picked up the Satanic Bible, because I was a really gothic teenager, so I figured I'll read some Satanism, was that they really don't believe in, at least the version I read from Anton LaVey, they really don't believe in the devil or God. They're basically atheists, and Satan and Lucifer stand for all kind of archetypical... approaches to life. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting.
You picked that up back then. You're not just projecting with your 38-year-old mind.
Very good question. Oh, no, yeah, I picked that up because that's very clear. They mm-hmm. don't worship Satan. That mm-hmm. was very clear. So mm-hmm. That was interesting. Now, of course, Anton LaVey made this up in the 60s and the 70s, right? This is not like some ancient satanic tradition. This is just a guy sitting at his home making that up. But it was interesting.
Well, you spare no words in your assessment of this, the veracity of that book. Anywho, okay. So where did you go next after reading the Satanic Bible? This great paragon of...
I got a bunch of other books. I think I just read a whole bunch of books. Philosophy and a little bit of religion and a bunch of New Age, because that's what my mother had in the house. So that's the topics I read.
Okay, and then where'd you go next?
Well, then I was at a party on Friday night and I met some Israelis.
How old were you at this point?
I think I was 17, 18. I met some Israelis and I had already read about Kabbalah, so I figured, which is Jewish mysticism, right? So I figured I'll talk to them about Kabbalah and see what they have to say because they were Jewish. Now, of course, anyone who's Jewish knows that if they show up at a party on Shabbos, right, they're probably not that religious, but it turns out they were what you call in Hebrew dati b'lev, meaning they were religious in their heart, even though if they didn't fully observed it. So we got to talk about religion and Judaism specifically, and they invited me to shul, the synagogue, the next day, and I went to my first synagogue, which was the Spanish Portuguese synagogue in Amsterdam. It's very exciting.
Yeah, actually tell us about the synagogue. You may as well talk a little bit about it.
About the history, well, it was one of the after the Dutch Republic was declared against Spain, a lot of the Jews moved to there, moved to the Netherlands because they
Had religious freedom.
there was religious freedom there, yeah, and they also had a machlokas, how do you say it? A gripe, is that what you say? Anyway, a
Controversy,
contra. They also didn't like
disagreement.
Spain, so they figured we're gonna go to Holland. So a bunch of them, Spanish Portuguese, went to the Netherlands. And so they had the synagogue. This is the synagogue that Menashe ben Israel was in and Spinoza. So this is one of the most famous, it's the most famous Dutch synagogue in the world. And there I was, you know, in the middle of this synagogue, surrounded by these people speaking foreign language for 2 hours. So, you know, it's kind of weird. I did like it because it was exotic, but I had no clue what was flying.
Yeah. Now, if you were an emotional kind of person, this is the point where you would say, I felt God's voice calling me, and I experienced something I never felt before, and the emotions just moved me. But knowing that it's you did not feel that.
No, but I did find it very interesting. And I actually, at the time, I had my girlfriend with me. We went together and we left the synagogue and we went home. And on our way home, she said, would you ever consider converting to Judaism? And I said, you know, I haven't thought about it. And then she says, well, you have to be circumcised. And then I said, yeah, you know what? Let's move on from this topic. This is not going to happen.
5 years later.
Yeah, snip, snip. A lot of blood, a lot of cry now. It's fine.
Oh, well. Okay, so where did you go? So after you went to the synagogue, what happened next? Since, you know, you are clearly Jewish now, so something must have happened.
Yeah, so I started reading a lot of other books. Very interesting. There was a store in Amsterdam called the American Bookstore, and I got a boatload of books from there. I just buy a whole ton of them.
Were they
Not
any
all
good
of,
books?
not all of, not all about Judaism. But a lot about Judaism and Christianity and a bunch of Islam. Islam is a very large religion in the Netherlands. You know, the majority of immigrants are from Muslim backgrounds, so that's the largest non-Christian religion in the Netherlands.
So actually, your hometown, Zaandam. Tell us more about its demographics. I think it's interesting to hear about that.
Yeah, so my hometown, I grew up in a largely Muslim neighborhood and went to a bunch of schools where a lot of Muslims in there. And then later I found out, I mean, we had the largest Turkish Muslim Turkish mosque in the city of Zaandam, where I'm from. And later I found out that actually we are the largest Turkish community in the Netherlands. So I grew up with a lot of Turkish people. I can curse in Turkish. I
Really?
can yeah, I'm not gonna do it.
Why not?
I'm just not gonna do it.
Okay.
And yeah, and I can you know, I can make my mother open the door.
Make your mother open the
Yeah.
door?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we had this thing downstairs that you have to buzz the door, and you could buzz your home number, and then the parents would say, "Who is it?" And then you would say, "Open the door." But because of course I hang out with so many Turkish kids. So I would ring the bell, and then my mother would say in Dutch, "Who is it? Wie is dat?" And then I would say, "Anna, ach, ach!" I would scream, which means "Mother, open, open," because you know it was so Turkish around us. So thought it was funny.
Wasn't your best friend Turkish?
I had a good friend. Yeah, one of my best friends was Turkish. Our downstairs neighbor, who was one of my brother's best friends, was Turkish. Half of my classmates were Turkish in middle school, you know.
And actually, this is a very funny story. Tell the story about the girl in the elevator.
Oh, two girls. So these two girls, I'm sitting in the elevator.
And you're like, how old at this point?
I don't know. But I'm a teenager, gothic teenager. So I had like terribly dyed black hair, long. And, you know, and whatever else I had on, I don't remember. But, you know, gothic. So it just looked a little weird for them. So they were talking and looking back at me. And they were talking in Turkish. So I say to them in Dutch.
Because they were going, hee hee, point, point, hee hee.
You know, laughing and pointing at me. So I said to them, you know, it's not polite to talk to people when they're right there.
And they said, about people.
Yeah. And she said, they said, you can hear us? You can understand us? And I'm like, yeah. We all speak Turkish in the Netherlands. We just don't speak Turkish to you because this is the Netherlands. We like to speak Dutch. And they're like, really? Everyone can hear us? Everyone can understand us? And they looked very ashamed.
And to this day, they still think all Dutch people speak Turkish.
I sincerely doubt that.
Okay. So actually, this is a good point to talk about your gothicness. At the time when you were a teenager, tell us about your gothicness. And like, what was the motivation behind it?
Gothicness? Well, no, it's just a subculture, right? It's just a musical, it's a music scene and some dress. And some people put more behind it. I never did. I remember once I was at a carnival, and this lady comes up to me, and she asked me about Gothic. She's really curious, and of course, I'm the most boring person to talk to, because I said to her, it's just music. It's just music in a subculture. That's all it is. So,
very disappointing. But yeah, you had long black hair, which to this day, I regret that you cut off. I mean, the blonde part is good, but the long part, that's the regrettable part. And you used to wear makeup, right? And you wanted to dress androgynous, so you would wear these.
Well, all outfits. Kind of nonsensical. I guess you can't say in 2020 that's nonsensical anymore. But all kind of, you know, childish behaviors about being androgynous and dressing up. Yeah, I don't know what to tell more about this.
Yeah, back then you were more slim, so you couldn't tell if you were...
She just called me fat. That's it. That's a passive-aggressive comment to no, make me lose some weight.
No, you're also very broad right now, so it would be pretty hard for you to be mistaken for female. Back then, you were more you hadn't grown into yourself yet, so you were still more narrow.
Okay, you know, we're not even talking about a podcast at this point.
No, I think this is relevant. People like to hear your story and understand who you are.
Right, well, I need to get some more dynamic energy going to be more exciting for the podcast, right?
You're always exciting.
Okay, now let's move on from that.
Okay, so you told your girlfriend that you're never going to convert, but then
I did convert. Ta-da! Fantastic.
Okay, what happened in between?
I read a lot of books. I used to have this whole complex conversion story with all kind of interesting twists and turns, and I'm like, you know, I'm reading books and I'm debating people in my mind, and it's going to be really exciting and all that stuff. And then at some point it got so polished and so like exciting. I was like, this is ridiculous. So now I tell people when they tell me, oh, what makes you convert to Judaism? I said, I read a lot of books and I liked it.
Okay. So I understand that it's hard for you to recall all those details, but this is, you know, people who theoretically don't know you and are getting to know you for the first time. So let's try to get into a little bit more of the details.
You know, all my friends are just going to listen to this.
Okay, well, I'm being optimistic.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But you just want to hear my reasoning?
Well, yes, let's hear some of your reasoning. And also, I think that, you know, you can talk about your interest in breast love at the time.
I'm rolling my eyes. Okay, so...
Can't be embarrassed about your past.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just not relevant for the podcast. Anyway... So I converted to Judaism. It was the one true religion. It was really awesome. I don't know what to tell you.
Wow, your sense of detail is just astounding, Yoel.
I know. I know.
Okay, fine. So we'll go into religion another time because you clearly don't seem to be interested in discussing it too much right now. So, okay. I think this is a good place to stop. We're at 30 minutes. And that's a good introduction.
You said nothing almost, right?
No, we talked about yourself and your life, and I think that's great.
Okay, well, it's at least a good pilot to put up just to get stuff done. Well, thank you for interviewing me.
You're welcome. I always enjoy talking to you. Okay. That's why I'm married to you.
Same here. And that's it.
Bye.